There's a piece of received wisdom in how we train AI agents that turns out to be almost backwards. If you want an agent that can actually operate a computer, click through menus, type into dialogues, drive a file manager, the standard recipe is to record an expert doing the task flawlessly and have the agent learn to copy it, one screen at a time. And the intuition everyone runs on is simple. Cleaner demonstrations, better agent. The paper we're digging into today argues that's exactly where the trouble starts. The cleaner and more flawless your expert, the worse your agent gets at one very specific thing: handling the moment it's lost.
And that's the counterintuitive part, right? You'd think a perfect teacher is strictly an upgrade.
You would. We'll get to why it isn't. That paper went up on Archive on June 17th, 2026, and we're recording one day later. Quick ground rules first. This episode is AI generated. The script was written by Anthropic's Claude Opus 4.8, and the two voices you're hearing, I'm Juniper, and my co-host is Finn.
And I'm Finn, also an AI voice from 11 Labs.
Neither of us, and nobody producing this show, is affiliated with Anthropic or 11 Labs. The paper is called Skill-Guided Continuation Distillation for GUI Agents, and that backward-sounding claim about clean demonstrations is the thread the whole thing pulls on.
So unpack it for me. Why does a better teacher leave the agent worse at being lost?
Because of what the expert never does. The training method here is called behavior cloning. The agent watches recordings of an expert and learns to predict the next action from each screen. It's basically how a language model predicts the next word, except the words are clicks and keystrokes. And the expert in those recordings never gets lost, never clicks the wrong menu, never gives up early, never fat fingers a command. So the agent only ever learns what to do from the states a flawless operator would be in. The states a flawless operator is never in. The half-broken, I took a wrong turn states are simply absent from the data.
And the agent is not a flawless operator.
That's the whole problem in one line. The moment it makes its first small mistake during real use, it's standing in a situation the recordings never showed, because the expert never made that mistake. Now it's improvising with zero guidance, and because these are long, multi-step tasks, that one early misstep cascades. The next action builds on a bad state, which produces a worse state, and the thing spirals. Someone learns a city by memorizing one tour guide's perfect walking route. As long as they're on the route, they're fine. Take one wrong turn, and now they're on a street the guide never walked, and every decision after that is made from a place they have no memory of. They don't get less lost, they get more lost.
The textbook fix for that is just ask someone. The tourist asks a passerby for directions.
And that's exactly the move that's blocked here, Finn. There's a classic result in imitation learning, a method called DAGR from back in 2011. And the idea is precisely that. Let the learner drive, see where it gets stuck, and query an expert. What should I have done here? You collect corrections at the exact states the learner actually visits, not the ones the expert prefers. But for a GUI agent, there's no cheap expert to ask. A correction means a human sitting down at a live computer and redoing the task from whatever weird, half-broken state the agent created. That's expensive, and it doesn't scale. So the question the paper sets itself is sharp. How do you supervise an agent in the situations it actually gets stuck in, when your training data, by definition, only contains the situations where everything went right?
And before we get to their answer, there's a detail in how they studied the failures that I think is the quiet engine of the whole paper. They didn't treat these as random noise. They ran the agents on real tasks, logged every failure, and went looking for structure. And the failures turned out to be weirdly repetitive. The same agent makes the same characteristic mistakes, over and over. They sorted them into four recurring patterns. And honestly, the examples are the best part.
They're great because they're so human. The first one they call early done. The agent declares victory before the task is actually finished. There's one where it's asked to disable a new version of the Chrome interface. It changes the visual style, forgets the part where it's supposed to disable diversion, and then announces, and I love this, that the task objective has been accomplished.
The confidence.
The second is fixation. The agent repeats the same useless action without ever switching strategy. The vignette here is trying to clone a Git repository. It runs a clone command with a flag to skip the certificate check, hits a certificate error, and then just runs the identical failing command again and again. Stuck in a loop, never trying a different approach. The third is what they call a hallucinated affordance. The agent hunts for a button or menu that simply doesn't exist. Asked to turn off dim screen when inactive, it goes digging through Chrome settings for a dim screen control. That control isn't in Chrome. It's a system setting you reach through a command line tool. So it's searching a room the object was never in.
And the fourth is the subtle one, scope misjudgment. The agent understands the instruction fine, but reaches for the wrong function. The example is being asked to set Chrome to auto-delete browsing data. Instead of configuring the automatic setting, the agent just manually deletes the data once. It did a thing. It did not do the thing.
Right. It solved a task adjacent to the one it was given.
Now here's the finding that turns these four anecdotes into a design principle. When they plotted when in a task the failures happen, you'd expect them smeared across the whole thing, some early, some deep in a 20 or 30 step workflow.
But they're not smeared.
Nearly 90% of failures happen within the first 20 steps. The agent almost always goes wrong early. The wreck is near the start of the drive, not at the end of it.
And that completely reframes the design problem. If the dangerous mistakes are front-loaded, you don't need to supervise the agent across some enormous space of everything that could go wrong. You need to cover a fairly narrow early window, the place where the actionable mistakes actually live.
So that's the lay of the land. Systematic early failures, four flavors of them, and no cheap expert to call. What do they actually do about it?
This is the clever core, and it's worth slowing down for. They manufacture the missing expert. Here's the shape of it. First, they let the plain agent fail on purpose. They run it on a real task, it goes off the rails the way it naturally does, and they capture that. Then they take a second copy of the agent, and this is the part to hold on to. The exact same model, identical weights, but they hand it a cheat sheet, a short written guide to that specific task. Call that the skill-guided version. Now the trick. They let the plain agent act for a handful of steps, just long enough to land in one of those genuine stuck states. And at that exact moment, they hand control over to the skill-guided version, which often manages to finish the task. That successful recovery, starting from a real mess the agent actually created, becomes new training data.
Hold on, Juniper. If the agent needs the cheat sheet to recover, then at deployment, it still needs Gemini or whatever to write that cheat sheet on the fly, right? You've just moved the dependency.
That's the natural reading, and it's wrong. And the difference is the whole point. The cheat sheet is only there during data generation. When they actually train the deployment agent, they train it on the recovery actions, not on the cheat sheet. The skill guidance is scaffolding. It's training wheels. A kid keeps wobbling and crashing in the first 10 feet. A coach lets them ride until they start to wobble, then steadies the bike just long enough to guide them through the recovery. And the kid practices that recovery until they can do it alone. On race day, no coach, no training wheels. Here, the coach isn't even a separate person. It's the same rider handed a set of notes. And at deployment, the notes are gone. The agent has internalized the recovery.
So the cheat sheet's whole job is to generate examples of good recovery that the agent then absorbs into its weights.
Exactly. And there's a lovely symmetry in what's written on those cheat sheets. Remember the four failure modes? The skills have four matching parts, one cure per disease. The agent that quits early gets a checklist of what done really means. The agent stuck in a loop gets a menu of alternative maneuvers. The agent hunting for a button that doesn't exist gets a list of known dead ends. And the agent reaching for the wrong tool gets the correct targets pointed out. It's a doctor pairing four common misdiagnoses with four specific corrections. Four failure modes, 4 skill components, and the pipeline itself has 4 stages. The whole thing rhymes with itself.
And the specifics on those cheat sheets are wonderfully petty, which is what sells it. There's a find and replace task where the dead-end warning is, do not check the regular expressions box. Because if you do, the question mark in the text gets treated as a special pattern character, and the replacement quietly breaks. That is such a specific, scar tissue kind of tip.
It's the thing a person learns by getting burned once.
There's another one for a cookie setting where the cheat sheet untangles 4 nearly identical options. Block third-party cookies, versus block all cookies, which breaks websites, versus clear cookies, versus block cookies. 4 things that sound the same and do very different damage. The skill exists purely to keep the agent from grabbing the wrong one.
And critically, these aren't a recording of one winning run. That's a deliberate choice. There's a difference between handing someone a video of the one time you cooked a dish, do exactly this in this kitchen with these utensils, versus a recipe. The goal is a smooth sauce. Don't let it boil or it curdles. You know it's done when it coats the spoon. The recipe transfers to a different kitchen. The video doesn't. GUI tasks almost never have a single correct path. You can reach the same goal through a menu, a shortcut, a dialogue. So they extract the recipe, not the video. What to achieve, what to avoid, how to know you're done. That leaves the skill-guided agent free to find a route from whatever live mess it's actually in.
There's one more design decision in there that I think is genuinely elegant, and it's about how they pick the stuck states. You could imagine writing rules. Study the states that look like this, ignore the ones that look like that. The authors argue that handpicking introduces bias and misses most of the states the agent really visits.
So instead of choosing, they sweep.
They sweep. They let the plane agent run for some number of steps, call it K, before the handoff. And they don't fix K. They sweep it across a range, 1 through 20. Every failed task spawns a whole family of training continuations, each starting from a genuinely different stuck state. And because the failures cluster in those first 20 steps, sweeping that window densely covers the agent's real failure surface, without anyone hand curating it.
And there's a small but smart detail in the training itself. When they take one of these spliced runs, the messy early steps plus the clean recovery, they keep the messy part as context the model can see, but they don't train on it. They only train on the recovery. The reasoning is that those early bad decisions are exactly what you don't want to reinforce. You want the agent to learn the way out, not the way in.
Then the whole loop repeats, which is the part that's easy to gloss over. Once you've trained on the recoveries, the agent is better. So it fails in new ways, and tasks that were hopeless last round are now recoverable. So you run the whole pipeline again on the new failure distribution. It's a self-improvement loop that keeps targeting wherever the agent currently breaks.
So does it actually move the numbers?
It moves them a lot. They tested 3 different backbone models, different sizes, different families, and trained on about 1,400 verified desktop tasks, deliberately kept separate from the evaluation set. The benchmark is OS World Verified, which is real applications, a file manager, the LibreOffice suite, Chrome, GIMP, an email client, a video player, VS Code, plus tasks that span multiple apps at once. Not toy environments, actual software.
And the before and after?
The 8 billion parameter model goes from about 33% to 55. The 30 billion one, from about 32 to 58. And the third one is the striking case. It starts at 24% and lands at 53. It more than doubles. These are jumps of 20 to nearly 30 points on a hard, realistic benchmark, with no new human demonstrations and no expensive reinforcement learning.
And there's a nice external comparison buried in there, right? The small model holding its own against something much bigger.
That 8 billion model beats a competing system with 72 billion parameters, roughly 9 times the size. So this isn't just big model wins. But here's the result that actually made the training wheels claim land for me. They took 142 tasks the original agent had failed, and they ran the trained agent on them, with no cheat sheet at all, just the bare model.
The training wheels are fully off.
Fully off. And the 8 billion model recovers about 39% of those previously failed tasks on its own. The 30 billion one recovers about 50%, which puts it in the neighborhood of a 1 trillion parameter general model.
So the recovery skill genuinely transferred into the weights. It didn't memorize the cheat sheets. It absorbed the behavior the cheat sheets were demonstrating, and now it can do it cold.
That's the cleanest evidence in the paper that the scaffolding then remove it idea actually works as advertised. And there's a robustness angle that I think is the most telling single number. Remember, they sweep the handoff depth K. They also ran strong commercial models through the same recovery test at different depths. A top commercial model, Claude Sonnet 4.6, is the best in the room when you hand it the stuck state early, at one step in. It recovers about 80%. But let the plain agent flail for 20 steps before handing off, and that same model drops to 47. A 33-point collapse.
Because the longer the agent acts before the handoff, the more compounded mistakes are baked into the state, and even a very strong model can't undo a deep enough mess.
Right. Whereas the trained system from this paper stays in a tight band, roughly 42 to 60%, all the way across. It's not the flashiest at one step, but it's the most robust to depth, which is precisely what it was trained to be. The thing it's good at is being handed a mess and finding the way out.
That's a satisfying result, because the robustness isn't incidental. It's the literal training objective showing up in the evaluation. Okay. Let me push on where I think this is softer than the headline suggests.
Go for it.
The cheat sheets, the skills, aren't written by the agent. They're written by a frontier model, Gemini 3 Pro, reading both the successful and failed runs and abstracting them into that recipe. And that raises the question the paper is pretty quiet about. When a struggling student suddenly improves, you have to ask, was it the method, letting them fail, then coaching the recovery? Or did they just have an extraordinarily good tutor whose knowledge rubbed off?
And those are very different stories about what this paper discovered.
They are. The ablations show the full set of skill components helps more than partial ones. But what I didn't see is the comparison that would actually settle it. This same pipeline with a weak skill writer versus a strong one. If most of the gain is really, we distilled a frontier model's task knowledge into a smaller agent, then the clever handoff structure is doing less work than the clean before and after numbers imply. I genuinely can't tell from the paper how much is the trick and how much is the tutor.
I'd add a second one that's related. The continuations only get built for tasks where the skill-guided agent actually succeeds. They call those the recoverable tasks, and they're upfront about it. But that quietly defines away the hardest cases. The genuinely brutal tasks, the ones that resist even a coached agent, generate no recovery data at all. So the training signal is structurally biased toward tasks already near the agent's frontier.
Which might be exactly why the ceiling sits around 55% rather than higher. The method gets really good at the recoverable middle and never gets traction on the truly hard tail.
And the authors say as much. They list it as a limitation. Limited effectiveness on genuinely difficult tasks, because you can't get a successful continuation when even the coached version can't finish. The other limitation they own is cost. This thing re-executes the plain agent from scratch in a live environment for every task and every handoff depth. That's a lot of clicking. They float building a cache of intermediate states to reuse, but right now, it's expensive.
There's a third thing worth flagging, briefly. The whole data cleaning pipeline leans on automatic verifiers to decide what counts as success. If a verifier accepts a subtly wrong final state, that error flows straight into training. They do add a second filter, a model acting as a judge to throw out lucky accidents and incoherent runs. But the quality of the whole loop is bounded by how trustworthy those checks are, and the paper doesn't really quantify that.
And one honesty note on the headline. From the low 30s to over 50 is true in aggregate, but the gains are lumpy across categories. On one of the everyday task buckets, the 30 billion model barely moves. It goes from 15 to 17. The office application tasks, meanwhile, jump enormously. So the average is real, but it's carried by particular task families, not spread evenly.
That's fair. And it doesn't undercut the core idea. It just means over 50% is doing a little smoothing. So where does this leave us? The thing I keep coming back to is that the central trick is bigger than GUI agents. The decades-old fix for this whole class of problem was query an expert at the states your learner visits. The obstacle was always that real experts are expensive to query on demand. The move here is to manufacture a synthetic expert. Hand the agent itself privileged information, let it demonstrate the recovery, verify it automatically, and train on it. That's a reusable shape. Any setting where you can let a policy fail, coach it cheaply, and check the result could borrow it.
It's a clean idea, and the before and after numbers are genuinely strong. I take the point about the trick being portable. I'm just still not convinced the paper isolates how much of the win is the handoff structure versus the frontier model writing the recipes. Until I see this run with a deliberately weak skill writer, I'm holding that as the open question. The star tutor might be doing more of the lifting than the method gets credit for.
And that's a fair place to leave it unresolved. It's the experiment I'd want to see next, too. If you want the receipts, the paper is Skill-Guided Continuation Distillation for GUI Agents. The show notes have a link to it and a few related reads if this caught you.
And if you want to keep going, paperdive.ai has the full transcript with every bit of jargon tappable for a definition, plus the concept pages that link this episode to the others we've done on agents and imitation learning.
Thanks for spending it with us. This has been AI Papers, a deep dive.